Thank you.
Amen. I love it. I love it. Amen. I love it when God stirs hearts. Amen. And the presence of the Lord is so precious. It's so real. And I say all the time, God can do more in a moment. When we're obedient to the presence of the Lord and in the anointing, He can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. And man, when we submit our lives, we submit our hearts, we submit our marriages, we submit our families, we submit our jobs, our callings, our purpose. Man, when we submit that to Him, He can take that and create something so precious and so beautiful that even out of the ashes, that He can rise up and just give beauty for ashes. And the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. And you know, I was, Dan and I also had went to a Thrive conference last weekend, and it was aimed at marriages and things like that. And so we were thankful to be able to get away for a little bit. But one of the things that they shared, I mean, you know, the first miracle that Jesus ever did, He did at a wedding. He sanctioned weddings and marriage in so many ways. And one of the thoughts that came out of that is when Jesus shows up at this wedding, right, and He's not married, but He's at this wedding and He's with His disciples, and His mother comes to Him and He said, Jesus, they have no wine. And He says, okay. And how many know it's not His responsibility to see to it that this bride has wine? That was somebody else's responsibility. And His mom doesn't even respond to Him. She just says to the others, whatever He says to you, do it. Right? And so she doesn't even respond to back to what Jesus says. And she says, whatever He says to you, do it. And so from that point, Jesus says, fill the water vats with water. And fill them to the brim, right? He doesn't tell them to fill the wine vats for a reason, right? If you're going to make new wine, why not put it in the wine vats, right? What He tells them to do is fill the water pots. There were six water pots. Fill them with water and fill them to the brim. Somebody say it's finished. It's filled. Because the purpose of those water vessels was for the washing, ceremonial washings and cleansing of the hands and sometimes even the feet of the people who came to the wedding. It was the hand wash sink. It was the dirty water. It was what they had walked through until they got to this point. Can I tell you that Jesus has the ability to take what you have walked through and what has marred you or what has soiled you to this point and to turn it into something that the best is yet to come, and the better and the latter shall be greater than the former. How many know He was taking a system of cleansing and saying this no longer exists and it no longer has the ability to do what I want to do, but I'm about to fill it with a new wine and a new refreshment and a new substance that when you take it to the head of the banquet, He's going to say, I never tasted anything like this before. Hallelujah. How many know when you taste of that wine, and I've shared this before, and this is not my sermon this morning. This is Lucas's fault. But before... And I love it. I love it when God stirs your heart. He tells us all the time, I don't like to talk in front of people. I said, yet. because the best is yet to come. I mean, oh, God is stirring some hearts in this season with some reality that if you have been in a system where you have been washing your hands in a vessel and it has not made any change, I submit to you, if you will do what the Master says, He will take what has been old, what has been soiled, and He will turn it into something precious and new and powerful. Probably the most obedient person in this story is the servant. Right? Mary responds. Jesus responds. And he's like, if I do this miracle, it's on. Right? He's trying to tell her, my time hasn't come yet. Just slow down, Mom. But if I do this miracle, it's on. From this point on, they don't look at me the same. But the most obedient person probably in this story is the person who takes that glass and dips it in the hand wash sink. And my question is, red wine or white? Because if I dip in that vase of water and it turned red, taste it. Man, you ain't gonna believe what just happened out in the hand wash sink. But if I dip in there with my wine glass and it's still clear, do I have the same faith to say, taste it? I mean, sometimes it takes faith to walk beyond what you see. I mean, what he was causing them to do was see something different that you've never seen before. I am not putting old wine in new wine vats. I'm about to pour in a new wine, the new covenant, the new system, the new testament, the new work of my kingdom is about to be established, and I'm going to sanction it at a wedding because the thing that's most precious to me is my bride, and I would give her nothing but the best. Come on, somebody. You got to believe that this morning, that your husbandman, your groom, would not give you anything but the best that he has. Hallelujah. You know, Lucas said it this morning, marriages take work, right? For all of you that are not married yet, marriages take work. For those of you who are married, marriages take work. Everybody now wants an easy button, right? I will tell you, the greatest thing you will ever do is to allow God to work in your relationship. It's when we quit working at it that it gets hard. Amen? How many in here been married over 40 years? Anybody married over 50 years? Anybody married over 60 years? All right, we got some 50s in the house. Can somebody just give them a hand this morning? We got some 50s in the house. Never stop holding hands. Never stop going on dates. Never stop saying, I love you. Never stop doing the little things. I don't know if you saw my post on Facebook. Doesn't really matter, but Dan and I were leaving Winchester the other night, and I started laughing after we had gone on our Friday night Lowe's date. Went to drive by Arby's. Got a roast beef sandwich and split a small chocolate milkshake. And we probably have not much since COVID, but yeah, we did share a chocolate milkshake because I was sharing the calories more than anything. And we're driving down the road, and I started laughing, and I looked at him, and I said, 45 years ago,
you proposed to me back in that same building that you've just tore up, that we just ordered 2x4s for. And here we are, all these years later, still doing the same things. But it didn't take roses, it didn't take diamonds, it didn't take fancy things. It's the little things we do consistently that matter. Come on, guys. It is the little things that we do consistently that matters. And when your heart is joined together and you allow God in that union, He can do wonders. He can do wonders. And that's what I want to say to you this morning. It's not the frill that makes it work. It's the connection that makes it work. It's the heart. And so one of the things we had to do down in our Thrive conference was we had to look at each other face to face and give confirmations. It's tougher than you think it is, right? And so we're there looking at each other in each other's eyes, and we started laughing because first you laugh, and they're like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say here. And so, and then we started to say, I said to him, whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Because those were our wedding vows almost 45 years ago. And I still believe it. All of us deal with struggles in our life. And where that has left you, there's no condemnation in that. It's not here about condemning what is past or where you've been or what you've walked through. But when Jesus takes a vessel that seems as if it has been soiled or dirtied or something has muddled that water, He can take that and make it into something beautiful and something precious. If you'll be obedient to what He says for you to do. Whatever He says to you, do it. Amen. I'm going to share a little bit this morning. I won't hold you real long because I want you to come back tonight. Because there's desserts. And there's food, pasta and salad and lots of fun.
One of the things that, you know, I think we miss the point sometimes too, even in that, is that Jesus loved the celebration. And see, you know, we could talk about the hard times you go through in a marriage, but the celebration is just as important. Sometimes we get so caught up, we forget to celebrate. And so he was really, you know, there's a lot of powerful stuff there, but the fact is he was really encouraging the celebration, you know, of the whole marriage and what was going on in this celebration. And so, you know, it's not always the hard things. It's part of the celebrating, too. So sometimes you just need to take time to celebrate, you know. This was our 49th wedding anniversary. So we got one more year to 50, which goes by so fast. But, you know, we have really taken time, especially since our kids got married, to celebrate. We just take a lot of time for each other. And I think that's really an important thing is, you know, we play Wii golf a lot in the wintertime. We just, you know, we just don't watch TV. We play, you know, Wii golf is a video game. We both like the golf. You can't golf in the winter. But we play Wii golf, and that when you do that in the evening, listen to music, you just communicate with each other. It's those celebration times that are just as important to help you get it through. So I think sometimes that's a point people miss about this wedding, is he was enjoying the wedding, you know.
Amen. Amen. It's a party. It's true. We miss the miracle somehow at times because we're looking for it in our formula, in our place, and yet that's not what God's doing. Because He's doing a new thing. Aren't you thankful for new things? Wherever you are this morning, there is new things available to you. God can heal the past. He can work in your now. You know, it's just what Lynn was saying. Sometimes you got to just take time, and you got to celebrate. you know, and we sometimes get angry. Well, what if this isn't reciprocated and this doesn't come back? Well, do it and move on. Amen? Because you may find out somebody just has to break the ice. Amen? Amen.
Let me taste it too.
Amen.
What I'm serving with.
Homegirl gonna taste it before I take it there. I'm gonna taste it, you know. But yeah, like before you can serve it to somebody else, you've got to taste it yourself. That's a good thought.
I'm sorry, they didn't know they were the first servers looking and they're filling glasses and they're looking and the other servers know that it was out and what happened. So they're running to the back and they're like, what's going on? What's it? That's how it keeps going. So when you say, what did you guys do to get to 46, 47, 49 years? 60 years. What did you do 45? You know, I always say my wife should have got a medal, but I was thinking, I'm not, you know, like,
there's still time. Yeah. There's still time for the medal. Amen. 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 Amen, Jason. Just don't give up.
If you don't have a strong godly woman and a husband that God's working on, it can be tough. I mean,
yeah.
Let's say there's been plenty of times. I'll just tell
Amen.
You, there's no reason, and you can run all you want, and you can do whatever you want, but you can, I'm just telling you all right now, you can fix it. And like Jenny says, you're still working, and I'm not the person that I was. And tomorrow, God will wake me up, Lord willing, and we'll go through the same steps. Because it's hard, and it's work. But I pray that thy will be done, not mine, not that it can happen the way I want. Not that this didn't go my way, that we're working on it, and we feel that power
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 And wherever you are in that journey, if whether it's loneliness, whether it's, you know, you've had to be that single parent, you've had to be that, you know, you've had to be the leader of your house or whatever it has to be, God is faithful in every step of that. And don't undercut yourself. You are warriors for being both sides, moms and dads, and for, you know, what you've walked through, been through. But that is not an indicator of who you are, and it's not an indicator of what God can do in your life from this point on, that the best can be yet to come, and that the anointing and flow of the Holy Spirit is so powerful in our lives that He can touch those places in us. I mean, everyone, all of us have hurt places in our life and those dark places where we protect and we guard, and yet when we let the light into it, God can just bring such a healing and a presence and the anointing even into those places where there may be scars. But how many know scars don't have to come with pain? But that God can heal all of those things. And so many things I wanted to say when Jason was talking, but, you know, no, he makes me think, and that's, I don't know if that's good or not, but, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, and it was a man, he was saying, you know, I just had to tell my wife, honey, I only get so many privileges in life. One of them is finding my own parking place. Just let me find my own parking spot, right? Quit telling me how to drive. I can do that, right? And so, yeah, we so many times look at something from the outside and think, oh, if it was just like that. Only to know the work behind the scenes that went into making it just like that. You know, the faithfulness of God through the years, through the generations, and, you know, legacy has been such a word lately, even, you know, in things down there and stuff like that about legacy, what we model. What we model to the next generation. Your kids are watching you. And they will model what they see. They will model what they've been taught. They will model the love that you have or whatever. They what they see is what they will model to the generations. Amen? And so we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to each other, and we have a responsibility to our families and to our children, what we build on. Amen. You know, we started out talking about it's not always the big things. I mean, there's something to be said for hard work. There's something to be said for faithfulness. There's something to be said for commitment. There's something to be said for covenant. And I know some of those words are not popular anymore. How many are ready for a comeback of some of the things that are foundational things that we can, you know, that we can stand on as solid and believe for those things? In any of those situations, as I said before, you know, one of the other things that I say all the time is, men, you're never more attractive to women than when you have on your apron or you're washing dishes or, thank you, babe, when you're changing a diaper. See, we want to think that, you know, it's all about the cologne and the right shirt and all of that kind of stuff. Look, there's times where I just need you to be part of the game, right? But let me flip that. Women, it's just as attractive for you to step in when the trash needs to be taken out and they've had a hard day and they can't get there and there's other things to do. Look, you're going to figure out real soon that the only way to get through this thing called marriage is to be team players. When you start saying, you always do this, or you never, how many of those are two flags? They're going to get you probably in an argument before you get done. When you learn that the best way to a person's heart is to know where they're at, what they're feeling, and work together with that. Dan and I figured out a long time ago the only thing we're going to survive this thing called ministry is to be able to do it together and to protect our space. Yeah. Amen. There are some times that you have to protect your space. Protect your family, and be able to step away for a little bit, as Lynn said, and celebrate each other, and, you know, what we build now will stand the test of the generations. My son-in-law said to me one time, going along with what I said, they were up, and Morgan wanted to take her dad out to a movie, so him and I and Morgan go out to the movie. Dave stays home and keeps the boys so we can go out. We get back home. My husband says, Dave, thanks for babysitting for us while we were at the movies. He said, you're welcome. He said, but I didn't babysit. I parented. Those are my boys. And I've never forgot that. Because we sometimes think we're doing the other person a favor by stepping in and pitch hitting a little bit. But look, you're not babysitting your kids. They belong to you. And I honored him for saying that. And it meant the world to me, because it's not like he's doing her a favor. They belong to both of us. He said, those are my boys. I wasn't babysitting. I was parenting. Those are powerful words to me. We're just kind of on this vein, so I'm just going with it this morning, because there's no way. I was going to preach on this morning, and I changed. So, Lucas, you were in line. Here we go. One of the other things that, you know, they shared down there is, you know, when you first start to date, you know, you want to hold hands. I remember, I'll just tell some of our stories. Sorry, babe. When we started dating, Dan drove a 5-speed. Y'all remember the little 5-speed? It was a Mercury Capri, wasn't it? It was this little sports car. Not really. But anyway, he drove a 5-speed. But on the way to church, we would hold hands until he would have to change gears. And I have to let go of his hand so he could change gears in the car, you know, because we held hands. How many know sometimes through the years you forget to hold hands, right? And one of the things that they were saying in this Thrive conference is, when you hold hands with somebody, it's saying, I'm in this for the long haul. How many know there's something powerful in touch? And I, you know, there's lots of different ways you can look at that, but there's something powerful in connection. How many know there was something powerful about the woman who touched the hem of his garment, because something happened in the power of touch? And so we sometimes forget affirmations, and we forget the power of touch, and we forget the little things. Amen? I have a picture on my phone, and through the years we would write love notes to each other, and I put them on the trunk of his car. I would put him on the seat of his truck. And so when I was still working, he would go out and clear my windshield off, scrape it for me, start my car. And then in the window fog, he would write a heart and write, love you. I have those as pictures in my phone. And I'm not saying that just to bring tension to us. I don't care how you do it. But what I'm saying to you, sometimes it's the moment It's not the fancy card. It's the reminder that you matter. That you matter to the Lord. That where you are today in any relationship or whatever, it matters to Him. And so, you know, we were talking last week about, well, not last week because Dr. House spoke last week. But before that, we had talked about Jacob. And you remember when Jacob comes to the place and he's just left his parents' house and he's in the place where the scripture says he makes the stone a pillow, right? And we talked about when your mind is in a hard place. He put his head on a rock. I mean, no, when our mind is in a hard place. Anybody ever had your mind in a hard place? Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling mentally with some things. You're struggling with destiny. You're struggling with purpose. You're struggling with your past. Look, Jacob's got a past behind him. His name means trickster, deceiver, deceit, right? And his mind is in a hard place, and it's in a dark place, but it's in that place when his eyes begin to hold a ladder or a stairway from heaven, and God begins to speak to Jacob in that place and to open to him the heavens and said, Jacob, this is what I'm going to do through you and through your generations. And we can look at that and say, but wait a minute. This guy is messed up, right? But God begins to reveal himself in the midst of those places. And it's an uncomfortable place for a reason, because if it wasn't uncomfortable, you would stay there. How many know it's time to get up from the place where you are and begin to take that same stone, and he anoints it with oil and he raises it up as a memorial and says, today is the day that I get up out of the place that I have been in and I go to where God is calling me to, because there's been a covenant that cut with my grandpappy Abraham that is bigger than me. It's bigger than my destiny. It's bigger than anything I can see, and I'm going to get up out of this place, and I'm not going to hate the place. I'm going to anoint the place, and I'm going to move on from there, because what God has called me to is far greater than anything I can even imagine. That out of my loins there would come a lion of the tribe of Judah, and that one day he would meet a woman at a well, and he would say, begin to talk to her. He said, if you knew who it were and who was asking you for a drink, you'd ask me. She asked him this question: are you greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, ma'am, I am. I am greater than your father, Jacob. One greater than Jacob is here. But how many know, because Jacob decided to dream again, he decided to get up out of the place he was in, he decided to go to the land that he was called to, he began to increase the family line, there would be a Samaritan woman one day that would come to a well that had his name on it, that one out of his loins would begin to minister to her at a well that she thought was a deceit and deception, and he would begin to minister to her, and she would change a village. He said, go back into, call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. She said, I know. And the one you're with now is not your husband. And she said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. You just read my book. And he said, she goes back to the village and she said, you've got to come see a man who told me all things ever I did. I think, I'm pretty sure today I have encountered the Messiah, and I believe he's about to change the course of this village. I mean, no, the village comes to see Jesus and responds to his miracles and responds to her, because somebody got up out of a hard place and dug a well that had his name on it. What I'm saying to you is, you can choose to reside where you are. You can live in failure. You can live in shame. You can live in doubt. You can live in defeat. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your relationship or whatever it is, or you can get up out of that place, mark it today with a date, date it, sign it, make it a memorial of the what is yet to come and anoint that place. And then you know what he does? Nobody preached on tithes, nobody preached on giving. He said, and I'm going to sow a tithe into this. It'll jerk a tithe out of you when God begins to do something and he begins to open. You live under an open heaven. There would come a day that Jesus would stand. And he tells Nathaniel. He sees him under a fig tree. And I'm not going to do this justice today, but he sees him under a fig tree. And he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And he begins to talk to him. He said, Nathaniel, before he called you, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. And he said, well, you must be a prophet. Everybody thought he was a prophet because he could read their book. And he said, you think this is good? You're about to see the angels ascending and descending on one greater than Jacob who is here. How many know Jacob saw a stairway, but in the New Testament, if you look at a different translation, he saw a ladder, but in the New Testament, there's a stairway. How many know he saw Nathanael under a fig tree, which was a form of godliness, and what Jesus curses a fig tree, but he tells Nathanael, you're about to see something greater than even what your forefathers Jacob saw. New wine, new covenant, new Jesus, new vine, new fig tree, new heaven, and a new earth. I want to tell you this morning, if you didn't hear anything else, there's greater things. You sang it this morning to our generations. Before you, behind you, all around you. Man, I can't sing that without prophetically declaring it over my house, over my household, my kids, my generations, my marriage, my church, my community, my nation, whatever it is, because that's the faithful God that we serve. Hallelujah. That's the faithful God that we serve, that the best is still in line for you. But as our hearts and our minds are tuned in to what God is doing and what we allow him to do in our life. You can do all kinds of expectations, but if you don't give God the space to move in your life, you will stall out where you are. Amen. How many know you got to give God the space to move in your life? What are you looking for? What are you expecting from God today? Well, where is your trust level? What will you trust him with? Amen. What do you trust him with? He said, there is an Israelite in whom there is no guile. What's in you today? What is your heart? What's thought in that portion of scripture, though, and he says, when I saw you under the fig tree, I saw you studying the messianic prophecies. I saw you, the fig tree was a form of the religious canopy of that day. Amen? He said, I saw you under that canopy, but there's something greater than that. There's something greater than that system. When he begins to call Peter, he calls him Simon Barjona. Barjona means son of John or student of John. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed to you. And I'm going to call you not son of John or student of John, but I'm going to call you Peter, Petros, the rock. Because on this, I'm going to build my church and I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I mean, you know, there's something greater than just a religious umbrella. Maybe you've been looking for God in all the places. But can I tell you, he's been looking for you. He's looking for you. He's looking for a heart that's willing, a heart that will receive what he has spoken, a heart that will say, Lord, here I am, I'm all in. Is there anybody in the house today that's all in? That can say, I am all in my relationships. I'm all in what God wants to do in this season in my life. Hallelujah. Fill the water pots and fill them to the brim. Fill them to the brim. Go ahead and stand with me this morning. When the scary becomes the sacred, when your disappointment becomes divine appointment, God's dreams are not about us, they are for us. And I believe that it is a season for God to begin to open strategic doors and transition. A yes in the spirit reverberates in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.